Hey, everyone. This is Nikki James, and you are listening to another wrestling podcast. Ugh.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The champ is here!
It's just a man!
Give me a hell yeah!
What the Rock is cooking!
Woo.
Yes!
Woo.
What?
Yes!
Woo, woo, woo!
What you gonna do when Hulkamania destroys you?
For the benefit of those with flash photography,
would you please shut the hell up?
Oh, yes!
Ooh, yeah!
That was what was best for business.
Oh, what a wreck.
The kid do dig that sucker!
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Have a nice day!
With your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
Welcome, everybody, to another wrestling podcast. I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And I'm Steve Credo.
Huge, huge show today, episode number 44.
Wow, that's right, Jonathan. Today we have none other than multi-time champion and entertainer, Mickey James. Ugh. Love is in the air, Jonathan. My wrestling crush is on the show today.
Me?
No, not you, Mickey.
Oh, okay. I'm just glad, and thank you, fans, for not requesting that he sing "Oh, Mickey, You're So Fine" because he was really wanting to do it. Steve, we are on the hashtag Road to WrestleMania, and as you mentioned earlier, we'll be talking with none other than hashtag Mickey James.
You know you're talking, you don't have to hashtag everything, right?
Hashtag, what are you talking about?
Why are you doing this?
Hashtag, today's show is hashtag give divas a chance.
Hashtag, you're an idiot.
With WrestleMania this Sunday, there's been a lot of talk about divas these days.
That's right, Jonathan. What do you think about Sunday's diva match? I mean, it's the biggest show of the year, WrestleMania. We're having AJ Lee and Paige versus the Bella Twins. Do you really think this is the way to give divas a chance? But Jonathan, before you give me the answer, I want you to think about it, because we're going to talk to Mickey James first, who is a multi-time women's champion, divas champion, TNA knockout champion. Maybe she has some thoughts about women's wrestling these days, but we'll find out what you had to say after this, Jonathan. Right now, it's my honor to introduce Mickey James.
I'm a rockin' southern girl, running wild and free.
Hey, y'all, walking through the door.
High class style, country to the core.
Hardcore country.
Backwoods or uptown.
Hardcore country.
Rocking your world with a thrillbilly sound.
We have a 3-time TNA knockout champion, 5-time WWE women's champion, and 1-time WWE Divas Champion. The only one in history, might I add. She is one of the best women wrestlers in the world, and not too bad on the eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mickey James.
Hi.
Mickey, thanks for joining us today. How have you been lately? What have you been up to?
Well, I've just got back from Impact Wrestling. You know, we were in Orlando for the tapings. So we just got back home actually earlier today. Other than that, just rocking out. I have a show this weekend coming up in Louisiana for my music. And, rocking and rolling, baby.
All right.
Now, you'll be appearing for Northeast Wrestling on April 10th in Danbury, Connecticut. Are you excited to be wrestling on the East Coast?
Yes, of course. I will love wrestling at NEW. I have fun every time I'm there, and so I'm excited to come back.
Well, we have a lot of fans listening tonight to where the next day you will be appearing at Collector's Realm in Fishkill alongside Road Warrior Animal. What do you have to say for all the fans coming down and making the trip out to come and meet you?
Oh, that's going to be awesome, I think. Because, you know, the thing is that oftentimes, even at wrestling shows, you know, you get a chance to sometimes meet some of the wrestlers, but it's nice to be able to perhaps have a small conversation, you know, maybe ask questions that you've been thinking about or you were curious about, and plus get your photo taken and just enjoy the whole experience. Plus, with the both of us there, I think it's going to be pretty entertaining.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, you just mentioned TNA. So, what is your current situation with TNA?
Well, you know, I came back to aid Magnus with the whole issue with Bram and everything
yes.
else. And so, I think because it was such a personal, the way it affected my family and everything. So it felt, you know, like the right thing to do, although I seem to keep getting in the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's been awesome. It's been great. Like, you know, it's been really great to also go back and see a bunch of my friends and see everybody and just be a part of the family again, in a sense. You know, I know it's a bit different now with Donovan as a part of the mix, but keeps me a bit scatterbrained. You know, but yeah, it's been amazing. And I've really, you know, been enjoying it. And I think with the new home at Destination America, and it's just got a new vibe in the locker room and all across the board. It's just, it's exciting because it's new and it's fresh and things seem to be, not only is the company excited and moving in this new direction, but the network itself is super excited. And I feel like they're excited to have me a part of it as well, which is refreshing. It makes you feel good, right? So
yeah, definitely. Now, Mickey, women's wrestling seems to be the hot topic as of late. Even right now in the WWE, they're even creating, you know, a campaign, hashtag Give Divas a Chance. Why do you think there's a lack of interest in mainstream wrestling with women these days?
I don't know that there is a lack of interest in mainstream wrestling in women these days. Or else I don't know that this whole hashtag thing would have gotten over as well as it has.
Mm-hmm.
I think across the board, I think it's just hard, you know, like when you had stars, you know, at the time, you know, you think about, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and at that time, you know, Lita and Trish were household names and they were just massive. And it's like, I think the business itself has changed in the whole model where it's not as fiery and as hot as, and as edgy as it once was. And so it's been almost like, I don't want to say like watered down a bit to where it's not as rough and tough, which hopefully we're starting to bring it back and bring it back to some of the wrestling. Like, I feel like, you know, as a whole, we became more focused on storylines, and in turn we allowed, or not just storylines, but you know what I mean? And in turn we allowed some of the wrestling, especially I feel for the women, to our the bar to maybe drop a little bit, you know what I mean? Because it wasn't on the forefront. It wasn't at the priority. It wasn't like you didn't have to be the greatest wrestler in the world, but as long as you had a strong character or something like that, you know, or the storyline was involved.
Sure.
So I feel like in turn, because the fans want it. And at the end of the day, it all comes back to wrestling. At the end of the day, this is wrestling, right? Like,
yep.
And that's what makes wrestling so magical, is all of it. It's the in-ring, you know, getting it done in the ring, as well as the character development, as well as the storylines. It's all a magical part of what makes this so wonderful. So hopefully, like, I feel like that's what's coming back, and which is amazing, because that's why I fell in love with wrestling, right? So
definitely.
Now, you spent some time last year at the WWE Performance Center. This was a huge deal for everybody that was involved in wrestling at the time. What did you think about the facility? And you got to see kind of some of the future women's wrestlers that may be out there. Are you happy with the current crop of talent?
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's always people that are going to stand out to you. And for me, when I was there was like a handful of girls that really stood out for me. And I didn't get to work, but I only went to the one NXT show where I got to see a lot of the guys. As far as in the moment, because I was mostly working with Sarah and working with all the girls. So, but yeah, I mean, I thought at the time, unfortunately, I didn't get to see Charlotte wrestle because she was injured, but she's been doing amazing, right? So At the time, I was like, well, you know, definitely Paige stood out to me, and Emma, Bailey, and Sasha Banks. That little girl, Alexa Bliss, she was really, really cute. And at the time, I felt like she was still really green, but she had, like, she's a natural athlete, right? And her personality is what really won me as far as her in-ring personality. Who else? That Becky Lynch girl, the Irish. Is she Irish or Scottish?
Yes, yeah. She's Irish.
Yes, yes. I like her too. Like, yeah, so it's different because, you know, there was a lot of girls there that had probably not been wrestling that long, obviously. Like, they had been hired, and they were still very in the beginning stages of that. So it's hard for me to see, like, unless there's, like, something that just specifically stands out to me until they're, I mean, God, it took me years to be able to do. They're so fortunate, right? Because you have all these tools at your fingertips to make you a star and to learn every day, where things that it took me years, you know, to grasp and to be able to capitalize on that stuff and pulling people aside and asking them to watch my matches and stuff like that. And you have so many people there that can aid you along the way and just give you advice. It's just amazing. It's like that whole facility is incredible, right? It's like a Olympic facility for wrestling, if that makes sense. It's insane. Yeah.
Now, while you were there, did you kind of get an itch to possibly train wrestlers in the future?
You know, it was, yeah, a bit, because I guess I hadn't really thought of myself as worthy enough to, you know, really train on that type of level, because you just don't know. You don't know. I mean, you can have someone who could be one of the best wrestlers in the world, but it's hard to translate that when you're trying to teach someone else what you know, right? So I didn't know how I was going to do, but it was really cool, because when you can share what you know and the knowledge that you know and stuff that you've learned through mistakes and everything else, it kind of maybe will shorten their their path a little bit, you know, so they don't hopefully make some of the same mistakes that you did along the way. But at the same time, you know, a lot of those things, everybody has a different eye and looks for different things or sees different things, you know. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. And I think that though, women, the, you know, the ladies, they were really receptive to me as well coming in. So, which was rewarding in a sense. You know, it's that whole, you know, we get a certain rush off of everything that we do in the ring, but to be able to see someone, I think, you know, maybe later or whatever, however it transpires, right, if I was to train in the future. But I think there is a certain type of magic that happens when you help someone develop themselves and grow, and then if they go on to be a star, it's a bit, you feel like you're a part of that, you know what I mean, because you help them along the way. I think it would be cool for me. I think it would definitely be a different outlet for me, you know, when I'm ready to hang them up and all.
Yeah. Now, Mickey, you had an illustrious career. What are your thoughts on women now looking up to you the same way that you looked up to such women as Sensational Sherry? How does it feel now to be the role model of a lot of these young women wrestlers?
It's amazing. You know, it really is amazing. It's a bit strange for me, too, because I'm still in the business, too, and I feel like I'm still young. In a sense, you know, like, I know I'm not, you know, 20 years old, like some of these girls coming up, but at the same time, I still feel like I have still so much to do and I'm still learning. So it's pretty awesome to think that people like actually want to hear what I have to say, or like, you know, if I have some type of knowledge to drop on them, if they, you know.
Yeah.
So no, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's humbling in a sense, you know, because I guess I never really thought of myself as like, you know, in that vein.
Sure.
And so the more that you think about it, and like as I grow, and even like when I'm working independence and stuff, and certain people will pull me aside or whatever, it's cool. It's just cool. It's like rewarding, and it just makes you feel pretty amazing that someone actually cares or thinks and values your opinion in that respect.
Now, you're like, this kind of goes along with the same thing. You're considered a veteran now in the women's locker room and in wrestling in general. Do you
approach?
Yes, a grizzled,
no,
a grizzled
I'm not.
Young vet.
I'm not.
Do you approach your wrestling any differently now that you have that status?
In what aspect? Like,
do you still feel like that you go out and give it even like the same gusto, I guess, as you did whenever you first started? Or do you think that because you feel like you've been there for a while, I know that some people kind of slack off. I'm not saying that that's
right.
What you've done, but I'm just
we
wondering.
Say. No, I do get what you're saying. I tell you what, the day that I start to slack off and don't give it 110%, you know, is the day that I should not be walking out there anymore. You know, so for me, I think that I hope in the fans' eyes that I don't before like give any less of myself to them every time I go out there. You know, I try to give everything I have every day that I go out there. I think that in a sense I may plan my matches a bit differently. I may, you know, structure them. I don't do a lot of the, you know, make some of the same mistakes that I did as a rookie, you know. Mm-hmm. So I definitely work a lot smarter than I once did. Go out there and I've never done a triple Indy moonsault, whatever that is. You know what I mean? But it's just like, you know, it's just, I try to tell stories and tell stories with, you know, within the ring of my character and the story. And at the end of the day, like really pull on people's emotions, because that's what I think captured me in wrestling. And I think that's the whole point of it. So it's never really even been about the moves. It's been more about the story. So been my goal.
All right. Now, like I said in the intro, you are a multi-time women's champion in every promotion. What are some of the things out there maybe that you still want to accomplish in the world of wrestling? Maybe is there somebody that you just haven't, you know, locked it up with that you want to, or is there anything still in the back of your mind that you still need to do?
That's a tough one, because, you know, I never want to sound ungrateful for all the things that I have done and that I've been fortunate enough to achieve. But I think, as in everything, you're never completely satisfied. There's you completely, like, every time you achieve a goal, you just raise the bar and make a new one. And, you know, yes, I've won every title that there is to achieve, you know, but as far as, you know, things that I still want to do or could do, like, absolutely, like, you know, everybody wants, I always feel like everyone in this business wants, like, that one more run, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That one more marquee match, that one more thing that's going to lock their name in the history books. And I think that's a goal of, hopefully, it's the goal of everyone. If it's not, then it's probably, this isn't for you, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
Now, this year we learned that Medusa will be joining the WWE Hall of Fame. When do you think that we will see you take your rightful place alongside greats like Trish and Lita?
Oh, come on.
I would have put you in yesterday if I had the option.
Oh, you would? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't, you know, that's one of those things that, like, you just never know, do you? As I would be absolutely honored to go into the Hall of Fame, of course. Like, that's a goal, I think, that everyone is, like, if that happens, you're just so humbled and so, you know, blown away by that, you know, opportunity and just the admiration of not just from the fans, but at that point from the business itself and from, you know, Vince and everyone else who actually believed that you were a part of what made that era, that moment so special, you know. But I was so happy to hear that Medusa was going in, and I know that this was, you know, something that had been talked about and touched on before. I think someone had teased it, or I don't know how it even, like, came out, like, oh, there was a possibility that I might, and I addressed that the same way I'll say now. It's, like, so amazing, and I would absolutely be honored, but I also know that there's so many women that deserve to be in there, you know? So whenever that time comes, if that time comes for me, I would be on cloud nine, you know, but obviously I still, you know, am thankful that there's so many women that have paved the way for me and that deserve to be in there as well. So I hope to see them, you know, probably go as well before me. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. You just never know, right?
Yep. All right. Now, you're not only kicking butt in the ring, but also on the music scene. What's been going on with your music career lately? Anything you can tell the fans about?
Well, like, I have a show on the 21st in Monroe, Louisiana, and we had some more shows getting lined up. It was weird because, you know, obviously when I found out I was pregnant, I just kind of took a hiatus from everything, really. And so I just kind of stayed at home and enjoyed being pregnant and doing all that. So still worked on, like, writing some songs and doing stuff like that, but we've just started to pick back up the schedule and started to nail some dates down. So hopefully we're going to get to rolling, and my plan is to go back in the studio and record. I have, like, you know, a bunch of songs that I've written and written with my guitarist and other friends. And so if I can maybe do, like, an EP of sorts of, like, all originals, or I thought about doing some covers, like, I could think some cool covers, a cool cover song to do or whatever, but I don't know. I don't have any set, like, hardcore plan. I just, you know, I want to get out and play and, you know, get my music in front of people. And it's a different high, right, that you get on stage as you do in the ring. So it's pretty cool. We'll see what happens.
Now, who are some of your musical influences?
Oh, God. I mean, I grew up with, I played violin for 5 years when I was in school, like middle through high school. I think I stopped playing in my sophomore year, right? Which I still have my violin. I'm not very good at it anymore. I haven't played in years, right? And so Mary Had a Little Lamb, maybe. But I've been influenced by everything. You know, it's like I don't listen to just one vein of music. I listen to rap and country and rock. And I think that Southern rock and country were definitely like the majority of what I listened to. But I was a huge, like, Gwen Stefani fan, and I was massive. I still am a massive Pink fan. I love everything she does. Everything she does is amazing.
If I'm not mistaken, you came out to Just a Girl in OVW.
I did.
I'm from the Midwest originally, so I actually saw some of your stuff in OVW, so I do remember that.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It was fun, that song. You know, it's funny because it was hot probably like a couple, like maybe 2 years or whatever before I was there. And I used to love that song and sing all the time. And when we talked about it, I think Danny and Jimmy were like, oh, we want you to come out for this. And I'm like, oh, I love that song, you know. But, and for my character at that time, like, I was just like that happy, white meat baby face, happy to be here, bubbly, and Pippi Longstocking meets Punky Brewster meets I don't know. But, so it worked for my character at the time. And it kind of, I think that whole thing is what molded into what Mickie James became on WWE TV, you know, because it was kind of that same whole vein, in a sense, just with a, you know, sure, mental twist.
All right, now, you seem to be pretty comfortable on stage performing. Which is more nerve-wracking, music or wrestling?
They're two different animals, right? I feel more vulnerable on stage singing. I feel, you know, definitely more vulnerable. And I think because I'm not portraying a character. I'm not being this larger than life, untouchable character on stage. I'm being Mickie James, you know, who I am. Whereas in the ring on that stage, it is a element of me, but it's this, you know, larger than life character who, you know, a lot of these things would never happen in real life, right? Or if they did, it would be pretty crazy. So I'm definitely much more comfortable in the ring. And it's, you know, obviously because I've been doing it and studying it and really honing my craft and skill for so long but I still get nervous every time. I don't feel like as much as it's more like anxious than it is nerves, you know, like you get excited and you get pumped up and fired up or whatever. But I'm not like worried that I'm going to go out there and like, oh no, I'm going to go out there and blow it as much as I am when I go on stage, you know? Mm-hmm.
Okay, now in wrestling, whenever you're talking about like a big moment, we call it the WrestleMania moment. When like you're now doing stuff musically, so what would the equivalent of a WrestleMania moment be in music for you?
Madison Square Garden, I think. I think that is the, I mean, even in wrestling, wrestling at Madison Square Garden is this huge moment, right? But yeah, I mean, I've been very fortunate. I've gotten to open up for, you know, Gretchen Wilson and Montgomery Gentry, and I've just done tons of like really cool stage, you know, I've done events with like Little Big Town and Rascal Flatts and all this stuff. So I've been very fortunate to be able to share the stage with them, or, you know, even open for them, which is like, you know, the opening match, you know? I mean, I'm just grateful for opportunities, you know, like I've been very blessed with some pretty amazing moments in my life, you know, in all aspects. So, but yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, if there was one thing that when a performer or an artist can sell out Madison Square Garden, then I think that's like pretty epic.
Sure. Now, congrats on being a new mom. I'm sorry, you should have said this at the top.
But, you should have.
I know. But now, is it pretty much inevitable that he will be a pro wrestler one day, a second generation pro wrestler, or
a second generation on both sides wrestler? Isn't that crazy? you know, what's crazy is like, I want him to be whatever he wants to be, but obviously, if he wants to get into wrestling, then I would obviously support him 1,000%. I'm hoping he loves wrestling right now, but he does. It's crazy. Like, you know, what we obviously watch because it's our craft. We watch every show that we possibly can be as far as wrestling on the show, on TV. So when he watches it, he's just completely captivated by the colors. And I think it's like, you know, the masks and the costumes, and he really loves, I was telling a friend, I was like, he really loves Lucha Underground. I think it's because they're all in masks. Like, yeah, a lot of them are in masks, and they're all these like wacky, you know, crazy Lucha characters where he's just like, whoa.
I'm just going to throw it out there, but maybe his name one day could be Magnus James, maybe? I don't know, a little twist of mom and dad's
name?
I don't know.
Could be Magnus James? I hope not. I don't think that.
Well, I had to throw it out there anyway, but
I don't know. I just don't see that on a t-shirt. Like, I don't feel like that's going to be money.
All right,
we'll
have to work on it, but at least we get the ball rolling on it, right?
Right, yeah.
Lightning round.
If you could share the stage with any musical act, who would it be?
Madonna.
Now, who would you put on your Mount Rushmore of women's wrestling?
Oh my God, did you guys see the one that Trish did for a thing? I just saw it on Twitter the other day. It was me, Stephanie, Lita, and Victoria. I guess, you know, definitely, that's a tough one. Trish, Lita, Victoria. I'm trying to think of who I've had my most and best.
Okay. Now, looking back on your career, who was your favorite person to wrestle thus far?
Oh, that's hard. That's hard. I'll tell you who I've had probably my favorite match of all time with.
That's perfect.
Was against Beth Phoenix in Alaska, and it was untelevised. It was a house show match. But it was probably one of my favorite matches that I've ever had.
Well, in your opinion, who is the hottest diva or knockout around today?
Hottest?
Mm-hmm.
Hottest. Probably Brooke Adams.
Okay. We talked about the Hall of Fame earlier. When that day comes and they ask you, who would you want to induct you into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, my God.
We're putting you on the spot. So.
That is. You totally just put me on the spot. I don't know.
You can say one
of
us.
I've had so mad. I've had so many mad. My mom.
Hey, that's good.
This lady, get her out of here.
All right. Sum up your wrestling career so far in one word.
Magical.
I know that you have a website, MickeyJames.com. Where else?
Fun.
No, not at all. Where else can fans keep up with you today?
Well, through my website, you can find my Twitter account, which is like at Mickey James, my Facebook account, which is Mickey L. James. But you can find all that through my website, which is really cool. And I have like a Reverb Nation page, and which kind of that's more focused around the music, obviously. And yeah, I mean, you can find it all at MickeyJames.com. How's that plug? You like that?
Perfect. That was a good one.
Mickey, we thank you so much for joining us today, and we're going to see you soon in Danbury, Connecticut, and at Collector's Realm. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait, and I can't wait to see all the fans out there. So we'll see you soon.
All right, thanks again to Mickey James. Now, Jonathan, we just talked to Mickey. Have you had a chance to think over my question about giving Divas a chance?
Yeah, I think that I'm not going to answer your question with a question, but I think that the problem isn't so much now giving Divas a chance, but it's a whole history of women in WrestleMania. So I thought today we should just talk about the role that women have played in WrestleMania throughout the years.
Well, what do you mean, Jonathan? I mean, there's been a lot of women's matches at WrestleManias. What's the problem?
Well, if you think back, if you think at WrestleMania, it's now in its 31st year, you think of most of the main matches that you remember, you're thinking The Streak, you're thinking Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle, you're thinking John Cena versus Shawn Michaels, you're thinking, you know, all of these great matches, but you're probably not thinking a women's match.
Yeah,
and
that's true, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to talk about this a little bit. There's been, you know, probably not as many women's matches at WrestleMania as that everybody would like to think. So it all started at WrestleMania 1, Madison Square Garden. We had Wendi Richter versus Leanna Kai for the women's championship. This was a good start. It was the second to last match. It was, you know, the event before the main event. And so, you know, you have to give WWE some props there, because this was the 80s. And I know that they had the huge rock and wrestling connection, so I'm sure that's why that was featured so high up on the card. WrestleMania 2, we're still doing good. Fabulous Moolah versus Velvet McIntyre for the women's championship. So I'm
not seeing a problem, though, Jonathan. I've seen two great championship matches already. So what are we getting at, though? I mean,
well, I'm glad you asked, because now I can just shove this in your face. WrestleMania 3 through 9, no women's matches.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow.
That's WrestleMania 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 with
wow.
Nothing.
What happened? I mean, was it? Did they get rid of the division or something, or they just didn't want them on the matches? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, they weren't hashtag giving Divas a chance even back then. So, yeah, we go to WrestleMania 10, Madison Square Garden once again. We had WWE Hall of Famer Alondra Blaze versus Leanna Kai. So we're getting back in there. This is whenever people started to say, like, women's wrestling was going to come back, because there were some good women.
Yeah, I remember watching. I remember when Alondra Blaze came back, or not, came into the WWE, and I was like, wow, they have women wrestling? And you know what I mean? Like, as a young kid, like, I didn't know what women's wrestling was. I didn't know about GLOW back then. You know, I was, like, just watching WWE, and when she's, you know, like, by WrestleMania 10, when she was on Raws and stuff up here, even in Poughkeepsie, you know, I was like, wow, this is different, women wrestling. So it was like, even as a kid, it was, like, new to me, because I haven't seen it for years before that. So that was kind of, it was different.
Yeah, like I said, they came out of the gate strong. WrestleMania 10 had a great match. And then we had another hashtag Diva Drought. WrestleMania 11, 12, and 13, no women's matches were featured. So, you know, I think that at that point, maybe they were – this was more, you know, your late mid to late 90s. I guess they just really didn't feel like the women – had a spot on the card, or that they would draw as much as the men for those matches. Go back and look at some of those matches and tell me that there couldn't have used a hashtag a woman's touch back then, because some of those matches were stinkers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at one point I could see that sometimes they just don't have the time, and maybe women's wrestling back then probably wasn't as prominent like it is today, in a way, in a certain spotlight, you know, especially having all these models wrestling now. But I mean, back then too, I mean, there are decent wrestlers out there, but not like some of the women we've seen in the past few years, especially like Mickey James kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I guess I could kind of see like why they didn't have it at 11, 12, and 13. It just wasn't there. They didn't really have it established, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, but then you get into WrestleMania 14, and I know back then they had a lot of up-and-coming women at this point. There was a lot of, you know, I don't want to say a revolving door of women because they weren't leaving, but there was a lot of women coming into the WWE at that time, and so much so that WWE officials said, you know what, we're going to prominently feature women on WrestleMania 14. We're going to have an intergender match. Mark Marrow and Sable versus Goldust and Luna. So at that time, you're teetering in the Attitude Era at this point, but they still didn't think enough of them to say, we're going to give women their own spotlight. They still had to put men with them. So
sure. And even like that time, I mean, it was more about the TNA factor. It wasn't necessarily had to be a great women's wrestler. It was more of like, you know, who's attractive, who do you want to see on TV kind of thing. And, you know, I don't know. Were they treating it much as like a, not like a joke, but I mean, I don't know. I guess they just didn't have like that established women's wrestling back then. You know, it was just, you know, who looked good maybe, right?
Well, I mean, you had a perfect way to tell the story. You had Sable, who was adored. Everybody looked at her and loved her and thought she was the hottest thing ever. And then you had Luna, who was the crazy one with the dreadlocks and the tattoo on her face and all that stuff. She was one of the best. And so you really didn't need Mark Merrill or Goldust for that. You could have even had Mark Merrill versus Goldust and then had Sable versus Luna. That's one of these things. As I look back through history, it's not just WWE, but I think there's been this stigma with women wrestling. It's always about like, oh, they got to be hot and they've got to be able, you know, like, but yeah. We'll get into that here in a little bit, but obviously 14, you started to see that. Then WrestleMania 15, we did get a match. We got Sable versus the other Tori, as I call her, not Tori Wilson, but just the kind of crazy airbrushed cat Tori that, that we had for a while that ended up being X-Pac's girlfriend for a brief time in DX.
So at this time, I mean, it's not necessarily women's wrestling as it is like almost valet wrestling. I mean, did they even still consider this to be even serious women's wrestling, or is it just, you know, I don't know.
Well, 15, you got that match, like I said, Sable versus Tori, and as the old famous saying goes, most of them didn't know, you know, a wrist lock from a wrist watch. And things didn't get better. At WrestleMania 16, we had Terry Reynolds versus the Cat. Ugh. So nothing really to speak about there. And I'm not saying that these people weren't good wrestling personalities or whatever, but to have matches with them, not necessarily the greatest. WrestleMania 17, we do have a little reprieve. We've got China versus Ivory for the Women's Championship. So
there we go. We're stepping it up now, right? I mean, it's getting better.
Yeah, you're stepping up. 18, you had the first ever women's triple threat at WrestleMania. Jazz defeated Trish Stratus and Lita. So you've got three, I would say, two Hall of Famers, maybe a third somewhere around the line there. 19, Safeco Field. That was in Seattle. You've got triple threat Trish again. This is interesting. Second triple threat in a row. Trish defeats Victoria and Jazz. That was actually a good match. But
so what's the problem, Jonathan? What's the problem? I mean, we're getting good matches back again, right? Give Divas a chance. They got a chance, right?
Oh, they got a chance, all right. WrestleMania 20, Playboy evening gown match. Sable and Toy versus Stacy Keebler and Miss Jackie. So you're building some momentum there. You've got two
triple threats. That was a WrestleMania match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got a really good WrestleMania match there where the object is not who pins who, it's who strips who. So, next, WrestleMania 21, we had a decent match. Trish Stratus defeating a then rookie Christy Hemme with Lita in her quarter. So, decent match. Nothing really to speak on about that. It's Trish Stratus. So, obviously, we've got a good match. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania 22. as far as I'm concerned, and it's not just because we just spoke with Mickie James, but the best bell-to-bell women's match on WrestleMania so far. Mickie James defeats Trish Stratus for the women's championship. That was my favorite women's match so far.
Wow. So I know we're talking a lot about the WrestleMania matches and stuff, but what do you think is the problem? I mean, granted, I could see something like you just said, Mickie defeats Trish. We have a great women's match. Why does it, I mean, it goes back and forth so often to where it's like a bra and panties match. Then it's a real wrestling women's match. Then it's back to like silly, you know, gimmick matches. Why can't they just have like a serious, solid women's division? I mean, you're going to have girls that look up to these women, you know, and it's like it's a whole other market for people, you know, to idolize their heroes. And it's like, I don't get why they treat them, you know, differently. I know are we still back in like the 60s, women's rights and all that stuff, or what do you think the problem is with all this, Jonathan?
Well, you see, what I'm seeing here is at this time period, you've got a lot of women. They're trying to fill a gap, I guess, in programming. They say we need a lot of women, and some of these girls could wrestle, and some of them just couldn't. And so, I don't necessarily think it's so much that they didn't care about women's wrestling at the time, but they just didn't know how to really act on that. So we just skip forward a little bit. Right after that great match, Mickie versus Trish, WrestleMania 22, at WrestleMania 23, we had Melina defeating Ashley for the women's championship in a Lumberjill match. Now, for those of you who are listening who don't know what a Lumberjill match is, it's the same as a Lumberjack match, only with Jills. It's women surrounding the ring, and it was not really a hard-fought, you know, great match.
They did tons of those, didn't they? I mean, it was more than just WrestleMania 2, but I mean, it was like when they couldn't think of what to do with all the other girls, it was just like, let's make it a Lumberjill match, right? It was just like, yeah, we got nothing else for them. Just throw them all together.
Exactly. So then, I'm glad you said that, because at WrestleMania 24, we added both the greatest thoughts ever, a Playboy Bunny Mania Lumberjill match. So instead of actually having a real women's wrestling match, we had Beth and Melina defeating Maria and Ashley in the Playboy Bunny Mania Lumberjill match. I see the cross promotion with having Playboy. You're getting a lot of new unique viewers, blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, it's not really a wrestling match. Which brings me to WrestleMania 25. Do you remember this?
Once again, why was this even a WrestleMania match? I mean, I remember this vividly because it was one of the WrestleManias that I kind of got back into. I was kind of off for a few years, but I kind of got back during WrestleMania 25, and I was kind of scratching my head. Because I remember the winner. I think you could probably tell the story better than I can. But as we're getting this whole list of women's wrestling and women's wrestling matches in WrestleMania, this is another dark cloud over the women's division, right?
I see. I'm starting to change your mind a little bit here.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm getting it now.
You know, WrestleMania 25, the women's battle royal. You got a lot of stars from past and present coming out to be there. Sunny was in it. Candice Michelle. You know, you've got some awesome former women's champions and divas in this match. What do we do for WWE? Who are we going to have win this match? Oh, I know. We're going to dress up Santino Marella like a girl, but we're not going to call him Santino. We're going to call him Santina, and he is going to win Miss WrestleMania.
Jeez.
So why – I mean, that set the Divas division back another 20 years just with that match.
I don't know who was booking it back then or who was in charge of the matches, but it's like – it's not really funny. I mean, it's not a joke. Don't get me wrong. I love women's wrestling. Like, I love seeing a decent match. I just hate it when they make every Divas match almost like a joke. And that right there was one of the biggest sad days for women's wrestling at that time. I mean, ha ha ha. It's funny. It's Santina. But, like, you're actually crowning somebody Miss WrestleMania. And, you know, that's, I don't know. It's just like, okay, why do you guys even have women's wrestling in there anymore if you're not going to even showcase them?
Right. Exactly. I guess it's one of those things they think if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And so they're just – I call this like a filler match. And you get a lot of people that joke and say that this is a bathroom break or whatever. And I think that if done properly, it can have a high place on the card. It doesn't have to be looked at as like something, you know, that, oh, this is going to be boring or whatever. We, for crying out loud, we had Trish versus Lita as the main event of Raw once. That actually happened. So
yeah, I remember that.
You know, WrestleMania 26, nothing really to speak of. We had a 10 diva tag match, nothing really out of the ordinary there, except that they had 10 divas that they thought, you know what, instead of really doing something with them, we're just going to put them all in a tag match, and that's going to be that. WrestleMania 27, this is something very interesting. We had a lot of good divas. This is the era of Lay Cool. This is when we had Michelle McCool and Layla, and I thought they were two of the best. You know, they made a good team, obviously. So what are we going to do with all these great women? You know what we're going to do? We're going to do another intergender match. We're going to have John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and wait for it, Snooki.
Snooki has a WrestleMania match. Go home and sleep on that one.
Yeah, think about some of the greatest wrestlers of all time and the number of WrestleMania matches they've had. And I'll be completely honest with you right now, the streak is still alive. Snooki is undefeated at WrestleMania. So they defeated Lay Cool and Dolph Ziggler. I understand, once again, we're talking crossover talent. Snooki was on the Jersey Shore and all this stuff, but you're taking away talent spots for other people.
Yeah.
I'm not in the WWE. I'm not a wrestler, and I know that some people would say that she brought millions of eyes, which helps everybody else. But at the end of the day, I look back at these, and then WrestleMania 28, same thing. Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos defeated Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres.
Was she part of the Menounos?
She was not, but I get just very passionate about this because I think that there's – so much that could be done. I think we've just scratched the surface of women's wrestling.
Yeah, man. I know you brought up a lot of great points. I mean, like, even like using celebrities in the matches, just use the celebrities at the show. They don't need to be in the match unless it's a really big deal. Like, I remember a few years ago, it was Mickey Rourke. That was a big deal for him to come out and knock Jericho out. But having Snooki wrestle, having Maria Menounos wrestle, that's not bringing millions of eyes. That's not bringing millions of fans. It's bringing their family to watch them on TV, and that is it. You know what I mean? It's not like they have this. It's not like Angelina Jolie in a wrestling match. You know, it's like, I don't know. Somebody thought it was a good idea. Somebody needs to tell them it's not a good idea. And I don't know. I guess it's one of those head scratchers to where it's like, all right, I guess that's what you really want to do this today.
So you know what I'm saying? We get some of the celebrity effect going, and then WrestleMania 29. Steve, you were there. I was there.
Yes.
Do you remember that awesome women's match that was there?
I remember watching on Total Divas them cutting it in front backstage, and I was like, you know, I didn't even realize it at the time because there's just so much going on there. So much happened at WrestleMania, and it's not like they cut the Undertaker's match, but it was like the Bellas and the Funkadactyls or whatever, you know, they cut their match, and it was just like, oh, okay. But yeah, no women's match.
This is the same WrestleMania that we saw Fandango taking on Chris Jericho. Now, don't get me wrong, I am fans of both of those, but you know, when it comes to time to chop the matches, it's like there's no question. They're just going to say, it's a Divas match we're getting rid of.
Yeah.
I feel very bad for those people. They work just as hard as the guys. I'm not saying that the guys don't deserve it. Girls, I'm just saying that everybody should have their WrestleMania moments, and they worked hard all year long. WrestleMania 29, it was a no-go.
Yeah, and I mean, like, last year wasn't that bad. They had that Invitational match for the championship, which I didn't think AJ Lee should have won. I think it should have gone to somebody else in that kind of a big match. But I guess they're really behind her because she's probably the number one merchandise diva seller right now. I don't know, but I thought last year should have ended with somebody else winning it. I mean, you have that kind of a big match. I don't know. I just don't see the champion holding on to it in that kind of a big match. And it was different. It was, they actually gave them some time. There's a lot of cool spots in it. I think even one wardrobe malfunction, but it was still fun to watch. It was definitely different than any other WrestleMania match or, you know, that we've had in the past. So they kind of gave them a nice little showcase last year, right?
Well, yeah, and then you think about the night after WrestleMania, you had Do you remember this? You had Paige coming in and defeating AJ for the championship. So she was the NXT champion and the WWE champion. And, you know, what's great about that is then there was the spark again, because NXT is doing some great things with the women's division. You've got Sasha Banks, you've got Charlotte, you've got Alexa Bliss, you've got Carmella, you've got a lot of these women that you're going to be hearing about for the future. But so that ignited the spark again. And we got Paige, really a lot of people. You got some good matches with Naomi. The Bellas have stepped up their game. You know, Eva Marie, Summer Rae, they may just be pretty faces or whatever, but I think that's what's really behind this whole give Divas a chance thing. You see these girls and people chant boring, or guess what? Whenever AJ Lee's out there, what are they chanting? CM Punk, CM Punk. The guy's gone. Like, I don't care. I mean, that's great. CM Punk was good when he was there. He's in UFC. We wish him the best in all of what he's doing, but like, don't chant CM Punk during a Divas match. It makes no sense. Like, and the boring. Well, guess what? I've sat through some atrocious matches on the other side of the fence where it's been guys and they just chant, you know, they just don't say anything. So, you know, so when we talk about this year, AJ Lee and Paige versus
we've come full circle, Jonathan. We've come full circle back to the original question, right?
Absolutely. You've got AJ Lee and Paige versus the Bellas. No championship match.
It blows my mind too. This I have to get it out because I'm getting fumed about it, thinking about it. You had a few months ago, Nikki versus Brie. You know, one was her slave for walking around. She had to carry her championship. She, you know, and then all of a sudden, poof! It's like it never even happened. Now the Bellas are heels, and it was like she never even was against her sister. And it's like, wait, what? What? Well, you could have had a sister versus sister, a twin versus twin match, at the Divas for the Divas Championship at WrestleMania, and it's like, granted, AJ Lee was out for a few months. Does she deserve a WrestleMania spot coming back 2 weeks ago? No, I don't think so. Paige, on the other hand, she's been doing great since she debuted. She's already won the Divas Championship. If anything, you had all these girls in the match, have a fatal four-way for the title. Make a different thing that you've never had before for the Divas Championship. That would have been great. But yeah, like, there's no deep. This match, I think, is going to be 5-10 minutes long, not even. You want to give Divas a chance. That was our whole point of the show. But when you look at it, okay, they got a match, but it doesn't make sense, this match. Does it make sense to you? I don't know. Maybe it does,
no,
maybe it doesn't. But
I think at the end of the day, is it the fans that need to hashtag give Divas a chance, or is it WWE that needs to hashtag give Divas a chance? I think that's where the real story lies. It's not like they're lacking on content. They have an entire network. They could devote an entire show to the women. I mean, they have they have Total Divas. But like, they could like, instead of superstars, it could be, you know, like superstars, but just the women, you know, wrestling.
You said it, man.
This is why I'm very passionate about this. I think that there's a lot that could be done, and I am looking forward to the future. And I think that with a lot of the women, not only in WWE now, but on the independent scene right now, and in other promotions, there is more talent as far as women go than there has ever been. So I, myself, am hashtag giving Divas a chance.
That's right, Jonathan. And guys, we talked your ear off. We talked a lot about WrestleMania. We talked a lot about giving Divas a chance. Tell us what you think. I know there's a lot of ladies out there, a lot of fans out there. We want to hear from you because we don't get to hear from you that much. So, you know, tweet us at A Wrestling POD, A Wrestling Pod. Facebook us, facebook.com/AnotherWrestlingPodcast. You know, comment on the show. Let us know what you guys think. Either comment on Stitcher or on Stitcher. You know, leave your feedback on iTunes. Guys, let us know how you feel. We want to know what you feel on the topics that we talk about. So please, being social media savvy is the key to this show. We want to hear from you guys because, I mean, if we don't hear from you, then it's kind of like we're doing this for ourselves, Jonathan.
Yeah, and I love to listen to myself talk, but I don't think that that's really what we did this for. We are obviously for you. We're a wrestling podcast for fans by fans. That's really what we are. We will love to talk to you guys. As Credo mentioned, you know, get on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, wherever you are listening to us, get on there. Tell us what you think about the show. Follow these simple rules. Like, follow, subscribe. Like, follow, subscribe.
But Jonathan, those are too many links to remember. How am I going to remember all this?
Well, if you're an idiot like Steve, no, I'm just kidding. If you have trouble like us, we're, you know, some of us are getting older up there in age, just go to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. That is really where you can find any and everything out about our show.
Today's show is brought to you by
ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. They provide opinions on pro wrestling in articles without oversaturating the net with news and rumors. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse has provided a platform for wrestling fans to write about what they love, pro wrestling. They don't censor people, within reason, and allow any and all opinions on the site. Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com.
Community Calendar.
All right, guys, Northeast Wrestling, the future is now in Danbury, Connecticut on April 10th. You will see none other than Alberto El Patron, Matt Hardy, Road Warrior Animal, Mickey James, Matt Taven, Brian Anthony, Michael Bennett, Maria, and so many more. Head on over to NortheastWrestling.com. And guys, the next night at Collector's Realm on Saturday, April 11th, you can come down and meet Mickey James and Road Warrior Animal from 11 to 1. He will be in shoulder pads and face paint. So, kids, get your cameras ready. Collectorsrealm.net for more information.
That's right, Steve. And if you can't make it to that one, then 4/17, April the 17th, is just around the corner. Northeast Wrestling will be holding their annual Spring Slam. It'll be in Newburgh, New York. And John Hennigan, formerly known as John Morrison, Harlem Heat, ladies and gentlemen, Alberto El Patron, Maria, Michael Bennett, Eddie Edwards, Matt Taven, Brian Anthony, and so many more are going to be there. It's going to be great. There's already some matches announced, so head on over to NortheastWrestling.com to find out more information. Also, for fans of our show, you know that we are involved with FWE Wrestling, and they have some amazing events coming up as well. So join FWE for FWE 20 in Rochester, New York, April 16th, 2015. And if that's not enough for you and you want more, then you can go to see both their shows, Battle of Bridgewater Night 1 and Night 2 in Bridgewater, New York. And that will be happening on April 17th, 2015 and April 18th.
We want to thank you guys for listening today. Every week we create something for you to listen to, and it's absolutely free. We are the Wrestling Fans Podcast because, after all, we're fans also. Help us out by subscribing to our show on iTunes. While you're there, you can rate us and give us a good review.
If you're looking for more AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com to find out more about upcoming guests and where we may pop up. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and buy an official AWP shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. We couldn't do the show without you, so please tune in next week for
another wrestling podcast.